Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, we have been saying this year here at North Point Community Church, the year of 2023 is our year of legacy. That's right. It is our year of legacy. And it's important for all of us to remember that we will all leave a legacy. We will all leave a legacy. Why? Because we will all leave a story. And a legacy is simply the story that people tell about the person that you were and the difference that you made in their lives and in the world. And so everybody is going to live a legacy. And that's why our motto this year has been, live the legacy that you want to leave. Because if you don't live it, you don't leave it. And so we want to make sure that we are living the legacy that we truly desire to leave. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that most people, right, they want to leave a positive story behind. They want to leave a positive story about their life. They want to leave a great legacy. But here's what we know. If you want to have a great legacy, it takes more than desire. It takes more than desire. And that's why in this series, as we've been talking about design your legacy, we say this. We say that your intense desire to leave a legacy must be followed by an intentional design to create a legacy. Your intense desire is really good. You have an intense desire to leave a great legacy. That's awesome. That's fantastic. But that desire needs to be followed by an intentional design that creates that legacy that we desire to leave. Now, I just only think it's appropriate, once again, I mean, this is August, right? And now we know that we are only 7 days away from college football kicking off, okay? And so, yeah, some people got really blessed by that. They're like, I didn't worship, oh, but I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go. I mean, somebody really pumped about that. So I thought, this is August, and I had quotes from football coaches the last 2 weeks. It's only appropriate. We can't leave out today, right? I mean, so I thought, let's see what the great Bear Bryant said. This is what he said. He said, it's not the will to win that matters. Everyone has that. It's the will to prepare to win that matters. And I think we could just take that and kind of replace it for our context and say, it's not the desire to win that matters. Everybody has that. Everybody has a desire for that positive story, that desire for that legacy. But it's not the desire to win that matters. It is the design. It is the design. In that word design, we've talked about that the last few weeks, but that word design, it actually means to plan or fashion artistically or skillfully. To plan and to fashion, to form, to do it artistically, meaning that your plan and my plan, they're not gonna look exactly alike because you're different than me and I'm different than you and you have different strengths and I have we and you have this and I have that. So we've gotta be artistic in the formation and the forming of that plan, but then we have to do it in such a way that we are skillfully putting it together so that we can become who God created us to be. So it's not the desire that ultimately matters. It's the design. Am I willing to form and fashion this thing? Am I willing to practice in such a way that I can win? And we said last week, right? But and this is not to say that like design is better than desire. I don't want you to leave here because it really takes both. Okay, you got to have desire, and then you've got to follow that desire with design. I said last week that desire starts the fire, right? But design takes you to the finish line, right? So I've got a desire. That's where it starts on the inside of me. That's where the hunger comes from, right? We could say it this way, that desire is about passion. It's important. I need to be passionate about the direction I'm moving. I need to be passionate about what I'm trying to accomplish and who I'm trying to be. Desire, it starts with that, with passion. It's about passion. But design, right? Design is actually about the pattern. Design is about the pattern. It's about the system. It's about that structure. And I believe that that's what the Apostle Paul was really talking about in Philippians. We've been looking at this verse, is that Paul is trying to let us know, hey, listen, desire is good. That's great. But you've got to follow that desire with a design, right? Because you don't want to be like that football team that got hype in the locker room and then hammered on the field. Right? You don't want to be the team that's bouncing up and down in the locker room before the game. You want to be the team that's bouncing up and down in the locker room after the game. You don't want to get hammered. You want to do the hammering, right? The Dallas Cowboys fans said amen, all right? Amen. But here's what we know, right? Desire is passion. Design is that pattern. And Paul's talking to us about this pattern, about this design. In Philippians chapter 1, and he says this, he says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing. Say, keep on growing. Keep on growing. This isn't a class you attend. This isn't a box you check. This isn't a good quarter or a good year. He says, I pray that you will keep on growing. How many of you know keep on doesn't stop? Keep on goes all the way to the end. He says, this is what I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you keep on growing. That we keep on growing in what? That we keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. He says, for I want you to understand what really matters. So that, everybody say so that. So that, so that you may live. Wow. Here's what Paul is saying. If you keep on growing, and you keep on getting a better understanding, then it's going to impact and improve how you are actually living. So he says you've got to keep on growing in knowledge and keep on growing understanding. The more you do that, the more you're going to understand what really matters. And the more you understand what really matters, the more you will begin to live a life that actually matters. But that's not just going to happen because we have a desire for it. There's got to be a design for it. And this is what we started talking about last week, is that what are the areas, right? If we say, okay, I don't want to get just stuck with a desire, right? I want this design. Okay, then what are the areas that we need to grow in? What areas do we need to grow in our knowledge and in our understanding? And last week we just said that we need to grow first in our knowledge of God. We need to grow in our knowledge of God. I gave you 5 ways that we can grow in our knowledge of God. We can grow through reading the Bible. We can grow through reading books, books that are written by people who know about God. Listen to what they have to say about God. You can learn about God that way. Podcasts, lots of free, great podcasts out there. Preachers, sermons, great churches. You can grow in your faith and your understanding of God through podcasts, through prayer, through your own personal prayer time. You can get in the presence of God, have encounters and experiences with God, and you can gain knowledge about God. And then just showing up at church, right? Showing up at church, joining a group, being a part of what happens in this community, you can grow in your knowledge of God. And last Sunday, we gave out a resource sheet. And I've already gotten so much feedback from people. I had 2 people this week that text me and said, hey, I listened to one of the podcasts that you put on that resource sheet. Amazing, you know, like brain exploding emojis, right? Like unbelievable, right? Simply because that resource sheet was there. We have a few left, and they're gonna be out at the Connect table. So if you were not here last Sunday and you're like, ooh, I would like to get some of the staff's favorite books and podcasts, okay, it's available for you. So don't leave today without stopping by, picking one up, first come, first serve, don't fight over them. Okay, this is church. Okay, we talked about the knowledge of God. But we don't just need to grow in our knowledge of God. Here's the second thing, is that we have to grow in the understanding of ourselves. We have to grow in the understanding of ourselves. And before we get into this, I want to remind you of the growth cycle. We looked at this last week. We've got a graph on the screen here. The growth cycle. This is if you want to grow in any area of your life, if you want to grow in your marriage, if you want to grow in your faith, if you want to grow in your finances, wherever you want to grow, it always starts with awareness. you have to have an elevated awareness, meaning that you are taking in some type of new information. That information is turning into a revelation, which is now leading me to an evaluation. And I start to evaluate what I have this new awareness of. I start to evaluate how this applies to me. Where am I in terms of this? All these different things. And then it leads me over here into practice. And practice is dual, right? Okay, number one, I got to put it into practice, right? But how many of you know, if I'm putting something into practice that I've never done before, I'm going to need to practice that practice, right? So it works both ways. Yeah, I need something new in my life, but I'm going to have, because I'm not going to be good at it. I'm trying to do something new, but I'm not going to be good at it. I want to read the Bible, but I've never read the Bible before. I want to pray, but I've never prayed before. I want to read books, but I've never read books before. I want to listen to podcasts, but I've never listened to a podcast before. Okay, listen, you're not going to be good at it when you start. You're going to have to practice the thing that now you want to put into practice in your life. And so we look at that through understanding God last week. But let me tell you, it works the same for ourselves. You got to have an awareness of you, evaluate what's going on in the inside of you so that you can start practicing to become the you that God created you to be. So let's look at this. So there's a few things that we need to understand when it comes to self and ourselves. Number one is this. We need to understand worth. This is where it all starts. You need to understand your self-worth. This is what the scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still apart from God and enemies of God, Jesus Christ died for us. Which means that Jesus died and proved your worth before you ever performed well. So that means that it wasn't your perfection that caught his attention. Which also means this, that it's not going to be your imperfection that loses his attention. God has already set the value of your life based on what he paid for you. Because that's what real value is. What I have is only value. What are you willing to pay for what I got? And that's value. And God has already set the value of your life because he determined what he was going to pay for you. And what he paid for you was the best gift that he could have ever given. He paid the life of his one and only son. And so God set your value. God set your worth. And then John, the disciple of Jesus, he writes in John chapter 1, he says this, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. See, this is why we start our declaration with, I am a child of God. And I hope that's not just a Sunday declaration for you. I hope that is an everyday declaration for you. And if you're like, well, how am I supposed to remember that? You can stop by the Connect space outside and get you a copy of it, okay? I mean, we got it there. That's what we give our guests. And if you say, I've been here for 5 years, but I don't have it, you stop by and just pick it up, right? You just take it home. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your mirror. Put it somewhere so that you can say it every single day. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am adored, and I am accepted by my Father in heaven. You see, that sets my worth because I belong to the King. I belong to the King, and since I belong to the King, it means I'm an heir of the kingdom. And that sets my worth. How many of you know, and there's not a prince in the world that had to earn that title? They were born to the king and the queen, and they became a prince. It's what they were born into. Well, listen, it is what you were reborn into, because that's what Jesus says. You would be born again, and when you are born again, you are born into his kingdom, and you are a child of the King. which means that God determined my worth. Listen, I'm not the creator, so I don't get to determine worth. He is the creator. And because he's the creator, he gets to determine worth and he gets to determine value. So the only choice I get is whether I will believe what God says. That's the only thing. I don't get to determine worth. I either choose to believe what God says or I choose not to believe what God says. But hear me. What you believe about you really matters. What you believe about you really matters. Do you believe that you are what God says or what your past shows? What do you believe? Do you believe that you are his masterpiece, or do you believe that you are a collection of your latest mistakes? What do you believe? What you believe about you really matters. And this is why it's so important, because your self-worth sets the foundation for your self-image, your self-esteem, your self-confidence. Anything else that has to do with self, it's going to start in this foundation. What is my self-worth? And this is why I say, we cannot just be satisfied with knowledge of God. We've got to have our knowledge of God, but we also have to understand ourselves. Here's the reason why. Because I can have a self-worth theology and not a self-worth reality. I can know what God says about humanity and about people and about individuals. And I can have the theology that Jesus died and God sets the value and he's the creator. I can have all of that theology, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it is my reality. And I don't just need a self-worth theology. I need it to be part of my reality. Why? Because I don't fully benefit from what I know to be true about God if I don't believe it to be true about me. I don't benefit just from what I know to be true about God. I got to take what I know about God and I've got to make sure that it is true about me. My design, listen to me, my design cannot be just to know what God says about me. It has to be to become what God says about me. I cannot get satisfied just knowing what the Bible says. I have to make sure that it is true about me. And this is why I need to know me. It's not just enough to know him, because knowing him is not going to deal with the parts of me that I need to know so that I can transform those parts to actually become like him. I can't just be full of Bible verses and Bible knowledge and not go through the personal evaluation in my heart of making sure of where do I line up with what you said, because I don't want him to say it. I want to benefit from it. Right? But it starts with our worth. It starts with our worth. Where do you get your self-worth? You see, the world would have to tell you like that you have to get your worth from some type of performance. It's like you have to do some things like so that you can feel good about yourself, but not with God. God says, I'm the one that determines your worth. Why don't you start from that place? So we have to understand that that's where it starts. It starts with our worth. Here's the second thing that we need to understand about ourselves, not just our worth. The second thing is that we need to understand our wiring. Because here's the reality. You came to this earth packaged with something called DNA. And within that DNA is a personality. You came packaged with a personality. And that personality has strengths, and that personality has weaknesses. And the more quickly and clearly you can discover those, the better your life is going to go. The faster you can figure out what your weaknesses are and what your strengths are and get your life in alignment with those things, listen, the better your life is going to go. This is what I believe this is what David is writing about in Psalm 139 when he says this to God. He says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is, it's marvelous. How well I know it. You are complex. Oh, now you are wonderful. And you have self-worth. But listen, you are complex. But if you don't understand your complexity, you are only increasing your difficulty. David says, you made me wonderfully complex, and I know it well. David says, I have come to this conclusion. I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. I know there are highs and I know that there are lows. I am a complex individual, because one moment I'm writing in Psalms and I'm like, there is no God like you and you are awesome and I will scale the mountains and I will fly over the seas and nothing can stop me because you are with me. And the next Psalm he's writing, where did you go, God? I don't know. You left me. I've been abandoned. I'm left in the pit. And David says, "Whoo, I'm complex." But if you don't understand that complexity, you're adding to your life's difficulty. And there's a lot of great tools and things out there that can help you navigate this, to help you know you better. There's a lot of personality assessments out there. I'm going to put some on the screen. And if you've never done so, I would encourage you just kind of check it out. There's the Myers-Briggs. You can find it online. It's a cheap version, or not cheap version. It's a free version. It's not cheap. It's actually pretty good. It's called 16 Personalities. It's based off of the Myers-Briggs, and you can Google that and find that test. It's free, and they send you a lot of great information. The Enneagram, StrengthsFinder, Life Languages, Disc Profile, all of these different things are just some personality profiles, some personality assessments that just help you know you better. And if you've never done it before, if you've never done anything like this before and you go and you do that, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's going to spook you out. You're going to think about, how do these people, they've been following me around. How do they know that's what I say to myself in my car all alone? How do they know? How do they know that's what I do? It's going to freak you out, because here's the thing. We need to know these things about ourselves. But you know what also you discover in these personality profiles? You discovered is not everybody's like you. I thought everybody was like me. I thought everybody wanted the same things I wanted, was driven by the same things I was driven by. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute. There's a whole lot of personalities out there. I would encourage you to look into one of these profiles. And actually, if you haven't been to Growth Track, right? I would encourage you to come to Growth Track. It's what we do right here, so you can learn more about the church. We actually do a little personality profiling Growth Track. You can find out if you're a lion, beaver, otter, or golden retriever. I mean, I know that's your life's desire. It's like, man, I need to know that. These things are helpful, but please hear me. You don't use the information from an assessment to assemble your argument about why you are the way that you are and why you can't help it. You don't go to this test and then print out the results and you go, oh, that's the way I am. Oh, I guess that's the way I'm always going to be. And so the next time you encounter something, you tell them, well, that's just me. I'm sorry. Here's my personality profile, and there's nothing I can really do about it. It's just the way God made me. It's in my DNA. No. You actually use the information from the assessment to give yourself insight and knowledge about your strengths, weaknesses, and tendencies. It shows you what areas you need to work on and what areas you need to develop. It shows you how you're wired to deal with conflict. So whenever there's conflict, there's something in you that just wants to rise up, or whether there's conflict and there's something in you that just wants to retreat. Neither one of those are going to be ideal in every situation. You need to know how conflict is going to make you feel. Definitely when it comes to relational conflict. How do you deal with conflict in an intimate relationship? You need to know that. How you're wired. What's your preferred style of communication? How do you communicate? How do you receive communication? How do you handle stress? All of these things are going to help you know you. But knowing how you're wired, listen, I'm going to say it again. Knowing how you're wired should not create better excuses, but better execution. It should not create better excuses. It should create better execution. You don't just get to say, well, I mean, I'm an Enneagram 7. I mean, you know me, like I'm just the party. I'm just always looking for the good time. Ooh, anything negative or deep or difficult, ooh, I don't want to touch that. Well, guess what? Life is full of negative, difficult, and deep. And you got to go there and say, well, I struggle in areas of discipline, but I'm an Enneagram 7. It's okay. No, actually discipline is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so you better get a little bit of that in your life, no matter what your Enneagram number is. Say, oh, well, you know, I mean, I'm a high D in the disc profile. You know what that means? Like, I'm just dominant, right? I'm just dominant. Hey, if you don't get out of my way, I'll just run over you. Okay, great. Well, there's actually a fruit of the Spirit called kindness. It would be good if you practice that. See, this is why we can't use this as excuses, but it gives us insight into our tendencies. Well, Myers-Briggs, it says I'm an ISTJ. I mean, you know what that ISTJ says? I mean, that just means that's why I'm always judging you, because you're not good enough. But that's the gift that God gave me. That's why I'm here on the earth, to tell you how bad you're missing the mark. That's why God put me here. And it's like, no, wait a minute. No, you need to know. You need to know that you're going to have a tendency to judge everything. The ISTJ, that's me. Okay, you're going to have a tendency to judge everything, and you need to be a person that gives grace and mercy. So it lets me know how I'm wired so that I can work on that weakness so that I can be Christ-like in my situations. It's not about excuses. It's about execution. Why do we need execution? Because I'm trying to build a legacy. And if I'm out here running over people and judging everybody and running away from everything that looks dark or difficult, listen, I'm not going to build the legacy that I want to leave. But I got to know me. I've got to know me. I can't just know God. I got to know me. God, how did you wire me? Here's the third thing that we need to know when it comes to ourselves, is that we need to know our words. You need to know your worth. You need to know your wiring, but you need to know your words. And I'm not talking about the words you say to others. I'm talking about the words you say to yourself. I love this quote that says, words matter. And the words that matter most are the ones you say to yourself. Words matter. And the words that matter most are the words that you say to yourself. This is referred to as self-talk. And I would say to you today, you cannot talk to yourself harshly and be healthy. So you get to choose. You can keep talking to yourself harshly, but don't get upset when you're not healthy. Because you cannot talk to yourself one way and then expect to be and to live another way. You cannot communicate with yourself in a poor fashion and then prosper. It doesn't work that way. If you want to prosper and if you want to live life a certain way, then you have to understand I have to talk to myself in a certain way. That's what Proverbs says. Proverbs 18, out of the Message translation, it says this: words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Words are to your mind what food is to your stomach. Here's what we know. We need food in our stomach for the nourishment of our body. But your words are to your mind. Your words are to your heart. Your words are to your soul. That same thing, meaning that your words are going to nourish you. So if your words are harsh, then listen, you are going to be starving. Because your soul needs to be nourished. Your mind needs to be nourished. Your heart needs to be nourished. And it needs to be nourished with words that give life. Now, here's the awesome thing. Words bring death. Words bring life. But you get to choose. You get to choose what you are feeding your soul. Here's what happens. That inner voice, like that self-talk, has been with us for so long that we start to think that this is just life and that this is an unchangeable part of us. It's been there so long. It's been there since you were 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, right? It's like, and now you're, you know, 37, you're 42, right? It's just like, man, you're living life. You just think, well, this is just like life. Like, this is the way, this is how everybody, this is the way it works for everybody. This inner voice, this self-talk, this is just there. And it is unchangeable. Listen to me. No, your self-talk can change. And not only can it change, it's got to change. Lou Tice said it this way. He said, if you don't control your self-talk controls you. This is why you have to take control of what you say to yourself, because what you have been saying to yourself is probably not building the ultimate life that you want to live. So what you need to do, here's what you need to do. First of all, you need to listen to yourself so that you can learn about yourself, so that you can then talk different to yourself, so that you might be able to improve yourself. You need to listen to yourself, because when you listen to yourself, talk to yourself, it's going to tell you something about yourself. You need to just listen this week. Listen to yourself talk. If this is like a new concept for you, like, okay, listen, you think, well, man, what are you talking about? Talk to yourself. I don't ever talk to myself. No. You talk to yourself every minute of the day. You talk to yourself, not out of your mouth. You're talking to yourself in your head. It's a dialogue that never stops. When you're going to bed at night, when you wake up in the morning, when you're all alone, this dialogue is always running in your head. You are talking to you nonstop. And if you don't take control of that, right, then it's going to keep leading you. So I got to listen to myself, right, so that I can learn something about myself, right, so that I can ultimately talk different to myself so that I can improve myself. But if I don't understand that words matter and the way I'm talking to myself matters, if I don't understand that, then listen, I'm not listening, I'm not learning, I'm not changing, and so therefore I'm not improving. Only when you become aware of your self-talk can you begin to repair your self-talk. You've got to become aware. I'm just telling you right now, if this is like a new concept for you and you start listening to yourself, you are going to, this week, I promise you, you are going to become aware that you say some really mean, nasty things to yourself. You say some really hateful, you say things to yourself that you would not say to another human being. You talk to yourself in the language of fear, in the language of doubt. You talk to yourself about your own worth and what you don't deserve and who you're not and why you can't. I'm telling you, when you start listening to yourself, it will be a life-changing moment for you. When you start to listen for yourself and then learn about yourself, you go, oh man, I have been talking to myself this way for so many years and it started to accumulate, and now it's just habit. Now it's just routine. Now it has become normal. But when I listen and I learn, I can go, okay, now I can begin to say something different. And when I start saying something different, I can become something different. I become aware of my self-talk and I begin to repair my self-talk. And it takes us to the last point today. And the last point, if we're going to really understand ourselves and really grow in this area, it's going to take work. It's going to take work. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, and he says this. He says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Notice he didn't say work hard to be saved, okay? Okay, he didn't say work hard to earn your salvation. He said work hard because you are saved. Work hard to show the fruit of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, watch this, giving you the desire and the power to do. So what he's saying is God is giving you desire, that's the passion, but God is also giving you this ability to do. That's the action, that's the pattern, that's the design. So God is in the desire and God is in the design, and God is helping you to keep both of those things in your life moving forward. But here's what we know. You got to work hard for that to happen. That's why when we come back to the growth cycle, awareness, evaluation, practice, awareness, evaluate, and it's a cycle. So once again, it's not something you just check off. You go, oh, I got a little awareness here. I evaluated. Oh, I practiced. Okay, now I'm done, right? For the next 40 years, I'm good. Now, no. This is a cycle because it always comes back around. It always comes back around. And the more you begin to practice and the more you begin to change, the more you become aware of how many other things can change. And the more you become aware of how far away you really are from the abundance that God really has for you. And then you start to practice all over again. So what does that say to us? It says that growth is exhilarating, but growth is also exhausting. Is it exhilarating to grow, for hope that things can change, hope that things can get better, to see light at the end, to see that something can be different? Is that exhilarating? Absolutely. But make no mistake about it. While it is exhilarating, it is also exhausting, because that cycle never stops. And the amount of deep mental, emotional, and transformational work that you have to do to really know yourself and grow yourself is extreme. It's not that people don't want to live the abundant life. It's just that the journey required more than they expected. They start with the desire. Yeah, I want to know God. I want to live the life that God has. They start with desire. And then they get on the pathway and they get in the pattern and they get in this growth cycle. And then they realize along the way, the journey is asking things from them that they did not know the journey was going to ask. And it's going to require you to get in this cycle of becoming aware, of evaluating and putting new things into practice, only so that you can elevate your awareness and evaluate your new state so that you can put something new into practice, only then so that you can become aware and evaluate and practice and do it over and over and over again. So if you're going to do that, you have to get really comfortable with this internal tension. And this internal tension in this process is realizing constantly, it's a constant realization, a constant confronting of this: I'm not there yet. And we want to be there. I'm like, I want it to be finished. I want to check the box. But we're not there. Let me give you like a spoiler alert, like you're never going to be there. So what happens is people get uncomfortable on the journey of growth, on the journey of becoming everything that God said they could become. That's why Paul said, you're going to have to work hard. If you want the fruit, you're going to have to work for that fruit. Because I have to be honest. This is so hard. See, these are the things you don't just get when you just get a nice little Bible teaching, David and God. I'm here to really help you. Because this is the reality of growing in Christ. Yes. Is that I have to be honest about how far I really am away. Have to be honest about how much more needs to be done, while at the same time implementing specific and strategic actions, knowing that the actions that I'm implementing, I'm not going to see significant results anytime soon. Like, are you trying to make people follow God? Are you trying to make them like go the other way? Because like this, like, no, I just want you to know how it works. Because I don't want you to be frustrated and quit not realizing what it takes. Because I've got to get comfortable with this idea that it's out there and I'm implementing specific and strategic changes in my life that I'm not going to see in any significant time, in any time soon. It's like this. It's I plant a seed and then I water it. And I show up the next day and I water it. And I show up the next day and I water it. And I come back next week and I'm still watering it and I've seen nothing. And then all of a sudden I get to see something, right? Like you get to see the boop, you know, the little, it starts to sprout, right, up out of the soul. And we're like, ooh, that's exciting. Yay, like that's a great, but then what? Oh, no, you still got to come out tomorrow and water it, right? And you water it some more. You water it some more. And you water it some more because you didn't plant the seed to see it just sprout. You planted the seed because it was going to produce something. You come back and you water it. And you water it. And then it grows. It grows a little bit more. It grows a little bit taller. Still no fruit. Still hasn't produced anything. And now you got to prune it, and now you got to fertilize it, and now you got to come back out there and do what? Oh, just keep watering it. Keep watering it. And then after months of work, after sweating in the 109 degree heat, then finally it produces a fruit. A fruit. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think you plant the seed to get one fruit. I think you planted the seed because that thing was going to give you a lot of fruit. Oh, well, after you get that one fruit, that's exciting. When you cut that one off the vine, you're like, woo, it's the first harvest. But then guess what you got to do the next day? Get out there and water it again. And then finally, over time, it begins to produce and produce and produce and produce, and the work doesn't stop. Friends, what is true about the garden is true about your soul. The work doesn't stop because every day you have an opportunity to know yourself better and grow yourself stronger. Every day. And every day really is a new day because today you are really not who you were yesterday. So you got to get to know this day you. And next week I'm not going to be who I was last week because things happen and conversations happen and disappointment happens. And I got to get to know the me this week because it's not the same me that it was last week. So I've got to go through the process of getting to know the me now, not the me of last week or not the me of last year or not the me I used to be or even the me that I wish to be. I need to know who am I right now. I've got to know me. Why? So that I can begin to grow me. And there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut to producing those tomatoes, and there's no shortcut to producing the fruit of your life. There is no shortcut to knowing God. There is no shortcut to the process of knowing ourselves. I said this last week in the 11:15 service. I got a little ahead of myself and gave this quote out too early, but I thought, man, you know what? Since we started with Bear Bryant, we need to end with Nick Saban. And this is what Nick Saban says. He says, if you want to be great, you really don't have a lot of choices because success takes what it takes. Don't get twisted up on that word success. Sometimes you throw that out there. We're not talking about a big house and a fancy car. Success is just the accomplishment of an aim or purpose in your life. Whatever it is that you are trying to become, whatever it is that you are trying to build in your home, in your marriage, in your business, whatever that is, he simply says this. It takes what it takes. Here's what I would tell you. Knowing yourself and growing yourself, it takes what it takes. There's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. It is going to take work. And Paul says you've got to work hard because when you start digging in here, there is all kinds of junk that comes to the surface. and it's more than you want to face and it's more than you really want to talk about, every fear, every doubt, every mistake, every regret, every disappointment, every excuse, it starts coming to the surface. When you start really getting to know you, and you start really investigating that and examining that and evaluating that, and we don't like that, so what do we have a tendency to do? I'm just going to go back. I'm just going to get to know God. Because it's on knowing myself, this is really uncomfortable. But if you don't know yourself, you can't grow yourself. So then I just get to know God. And the more I get to know God, hear me, I'm telling you, I'm trying to help someone. You get to know God, and all you're going to do is then in the end, you're going to live frustrated because you're going to get to know God and all the promises and how good he is. And then it's going to be your theology, but it's not going to be your reality. And when your theology and your reality are not matching up, in the middle, what you're going to find is yourself being frustrated. And what God wants you to do is, yes, get to know him. That's the foundation of everything. But you also need to understand yourself. A sense of worth, a sense of your wiring. The words that you are speaking to yourself and the work that it's going to take you to begin to act and respond and believe and talk like him. If we don't design our life for the life God designed us for, then we will never see the life that we ultimately desire. God designed your life. This is the amazing thing that God says in Ephesians 2, verse 10. He says, you are my masterpiece. You are my workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God planned long ago. That God didn't create you and then scramble around to figure something for you to do. God created you and fashioned you and formed you because he already had an assignment for you. So he made you perfect for the assignment that he has for you. But if you don't get to know you, then you will never be able to change and transform you to be what he created you to be. And so then you never step into your divine assignment. When you don't step into your divine assignment, you live divinely frustrated. And then we just say, well, I guess I just have to wait on heaven because it ain't going to work down here. But God didn't design you like that. So if you start to design your life for what he designed you for, that's when you can begin to live the life that you truly desire to live. A life that is full, a life that is abundant, a life of purpose. I want you to stand with me today. We're going to throw the lead acrostic up there. If you haven't been here the last 2 weeks, you can take a picture of it. If you have been here the last 2 weeks, it's the same as last week. What do we learn? Legacy takes more than desire. It takes a design. The evaluation is still the same as the current design of my life, building the legacy I desire to leave. Well, say, how's your self-worth right now? Because everything else in yourself is being built off of that. Listen to me. If you have a self-confidence problem, a self-image problem, a self-esteem problem, I will guarantee you it tracks back somewhere along the way into your self-worth. Because self-worth is the foundation that you build everything else in yourself off of. Maybe you have a wiring, like, man, you just don't really know how you're wired. You don't know your personality, your DNA, and you always trying to figure out, why do I respond this way? Why is it so hard? And you haven't figured that out. Figure out your wiring. Listen to your words. What do you say to yourself? What do you say to yourself? Begin to say something different to yourself. And realize all through all of that is going to take work. It's going to take work. But be reminded, the scripture says, God is with you. Paul said, you're going to have to work hard, but remember, God is with you. He's going to keep giving you the desire, and he's going to keep putting the design, and you're going to have to keep there just showing up. Saying, God, this is uncomfortable. God, this hurts. This amount of vulnerability and transparency, I am uncomfortable with this. I don't like the way that this is making me feel. You just keep showing up. Know God, understand yourself. Know God, understand yourself. Create the design for your life that he designed you for. I want you to bow your heads. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you. Thank you, God, that your will for us is not just to have a good theology, but your life is for us to live a great reality here. Jesus, when you taught us to pray, you taught us to pray, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, you taught us to pray that heaven would come to earth, that we would not have to wait to experience heaven one day, but we could experience heaven today by bringing heaven to earth. Thank you that the abundant life is possible. Thank you that there is no pain, wound, Jesus, that you shy away from. You are the great physician. You are our healer. God, thank you that there is no mistake too big that you cannot forgive, because you are our Redeemer. You are our Savior. And God, thank you that you invite us in to this relationship with you, that we might get to know you and that we might get to understand ourselves. With your head bowed and your eyes closed right now, if you say, Philip, I really do want to understand myself, because I don't want to get stuck in just desire. I want to create a design. I want to create a design for my life so that I can walk into what God designed me for. And if that's you today, it doesn't matter where you stand. Philip, I need help with my word. Philip, I need help with my words. Philip, I need some help with my wiring. Philip, I need some help with my work, because I get frustrated and tired and exhausted on the journey, and I quit, and then I try to get back in, and it's just the cycle, and it keeps on going. Wherever you are, no matter what you need, but you would say, Philip, today, I don't want to stop at desire. I want to create a design. I will figure out that worth, and I will figure out those words, and I will figure out that wiring, and I will figure out that work, because I want what is on the other side. If that's you right now, I want you to raise your hand right there where you are. Say, I want to live life by design. I don't want to just live with a desire and a passion. I want to live with a design and a pattern. Come on, just leave that hand lifted. If that hand is up, just leave it lifted. I want everybody in here just to repeat this simple prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I am ready to live a life by design so that I can step into the life that you designed me for. Help me, Holy Spirit, on this journey of knowing God and of understanding myself. Father, I thank you for every single person in this room. God, I thank you for the people that just prayed that prayer. God, I thank you for the journey that we are on as a community. A journey to know you and a journey to understand ourselves, so that we can begin to look more like you, and that we would do what you put us on this earth to do. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody in the room said, amen, amen. Come on, welcome Pastor Steve as he comes now.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.